Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast. Powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business. The 50-year anniversary, guys, NAIA born and bred, Grandview kind of folks. And tonight, well, it's a Grandview kind of night because we have on Coach Joe Woodley here joining us for the podcast. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great, Corey. Appreciate you having me on as always. And again, just can't thank you enough for all that you do for NAIA football. And I really, truly enjoy when you start doing this in the off season, and I try to get my daily walk in, and always catch one of the coaches that you've had on to this point. Again, just the exposure that you're bringing to NAIA football. Certainly think I speak for all of the NAIA and coaches on their behalf, and just wanted to say thank you to you, and just real appreciative of it.
We appreciate y'all as well. Gee, if you listen to all of them, then you heard all the sly references that was coming Grandview's way when we did the William Penn episode, I imagine, then.
Yeah, well, hey, that's totally understandable. And, certainly respect, obviously I respect all the coaches, across the country at the NAIA level, and just because I certainly think there's a lot of guys that are doing it the right way. And I certainly didn't take it as sly references. I just appreciate the guys that are taking the time to do this. And if you're kind of one of the hunted teams, that means things are going pretty good. So if that's what it is, that's what it is. I totally get it.
That is definitely when folks when they have you on the brain, it's definitely a good position, and it was a good position for Grandview last year. Third overall in SP Plus, 10th ranked offense with 7.04 yards per play, and the second to best defense in the nation, 3.67 yards per play. It got off to a little bit of a slow start for you there. You play a couple games where it's, you're below the 40-point mark, two out of the first three games, but it's against a Mid-American Nazarene team who barely missed winning the Hart South, and against a Baker team who did win the Hart South. Talk about getting off the schneid and getting the offense up to speed.
It was an opening game, and we were on the road. We weren't in school yet. Again, I know it sounds like I'm making a lot of excuses right now. Bottom line, Mid-American Nazarene's a really good football team. So, and we felt that going in. We just knew that they had a lot of pieces coming back off a team that kind of turned the corner the year before. And, got a ton of respect for Coach Hansen, what he's doing down there. And, like I said, it's an opening game. We were starting five new offensive linemen, new starting quarterback. We'd been pretty accustomed to, having Johnny Sullivan at quarterback the last 4 years. And, you go out there with a new guy in an opener. And, it's, we embrace it, again, not trying to sound self-serving or anything like that, but I know we're going to get, most teams' best shot. And like I said, it's an opening game. You never know what to expect. And quite honestly, I thought we played well. I felt good about that game, and I felt like we were, for the most part, in control. I think we gave up, a fair amount of passing yards, if my mind serves me correctly, but we kept them out of the end zone, and that's the name of the game. Defensively and just trying to keep the opponent out of the end zone, and offensively, and it was kind of, with the inception of those new rules, with the clock continuing to run, there was a lot of newness. I mean, I think, again, I don't have the stat sheet in front of me or anything like that, but I want to say we ran, I don't even know that we ran 55 plays offensively in that game. So again, just kind of getting used to that a little bit. And but bottom line, at the end of the day, like I said, we went and beat a very good football team on the road. Told me a lot about our team coming out of the chute to go win that game, because that was a tough atmosphere, tough environment, and you're really just trying to start the season out 1-0, and that was the objective, and that's what we did. So again, felt good about it. And after leaving that game, I truly felt Mid-America Nazarene was going to go on and win a lot of football games. So I felt good about our football team and the guys that we had. And again, starting five new, offensive linemen, again, felt pretty confident in that. I thought our defense was fairly veteran. I was pretty confident in that piece, but we were also starting, I want to say, three new guys in the secondary that day as well. So a lot of newness that we had to break in that day. And again, that's such a long time ago. I'm having a hard time truly recollecting the details of it. But again, just proud of the fact that we were able to come out of the gates there. And like I said, and what I believed going in was going to be a tough game. And then you mentioned the Baker game. Again, we've always had great games with those guys, and they had a new coach, Coach Regalado, who I have a ton of respect for. Did a heck of a job while he was at Clark, kind of, getting that program off the ground. And then the job he did while he was the offensive coordinator over at Baker. And I knew it was a matter of time before they kind of got rolling again. I know they were, I don't want to say down the last couple of years, because they were still competitive with everybody. The record may just not have shown it. But anytime you beat Baker, again, I know the points weren't there, but probably some of that lands on Coach Woodley's shoulders. I get pretty conservative with the lead late in the game, and that's maybe not a secret to anybody. But again, that's not a shot at Baker or anything like that. But anytime we get kind of getting that range of a three possession lead, we're going to try and get to that finish line as fast as we can, because I did think we moved the ball effectively that day, and certainly played good defense. Shutting them guys out, and but again, any time you beat a Baker, you feel good about it, and we certainly did that day. So kind of answering your question there with those first two games, I knew there was, those were going to be some of the games that were going to make or break our year, and to be able to come out on the winning side of those early on gave us a lot of confidence and momentum kind of as the season went along.
For you trying to hedge on that Mid-America game, you literally hit your number of plays right on the doggone head with 55.
I don't have anything in front of me, and again, yeah, my memory isn't the best. I knew it wasn't very many. So
you did fine on the recollection for not having anything in front of you.
So I appreciate you making me look good.
So you get out of those, and you start just wailing on everyone else this year. It was just offensive fireworks from there on out. You don't score fewer than 40 points there through the end of the regular season. You've got a good quarterback there in Jackson Waring, who, could definitely do things with his arm. I always wanted to try to hedge my language there, but he was definitely a different quarterback than you've had the last few years, and definitely added to it with all the weapons you had there with Gates and Vitsum and Street and Jewel there, you know, in their senior seasons.
Yeah, you know, Jackson, he certainly brought in another element to our offense. And that's not to say that Johnny probably couldn't have done that.
Right.
Just really wasn't his strength. And quite honestly, when we first implemented Johnny into the lineup, his first start, it was probably for more running reasons, believe it or not. And just to kind of give us a spark. And that's something I've always wanted to do with, you know, with our offenses, get the quarterback involved a little bit more in the run game. It was probably more so, you know, just the depth of who we had after Johnny. Not that our guys weren't capable after him, but he was certainly our best passer. And, you know, we just couldn't really afford, you know, anything to happen to him. So we kind of strayed away from that. But, you know, fast forwarding here to Jackson this year, you know, Jackson. And again, I think Jackson's a really good passer. I mean, you could probably compare him and Johnny's numbers, and they're probably going to be pretty similar. Jackson's, as far as completion percentage and ratings and all that, I think Jackson was, I think he was the most efficient passer in NAI last year. He was, at least he was for a long, long time. You know, I don't know what the final stats said, but Jackson's super talented. But yeah, the thing about Jackson that probably where he differs from Johnny is he's just, I would say he's a little bit more, he's all of 6'3", 225, 230 pounds. So probably going to be a little bit more durable. And even then we probably didn't run Jackson probably as near as much as maybe Coach Fulton, our offensive coordinator, would have liked to. But again, we felt like we were effective when we did run him. And he was pretty good at getting out of some things, extending plays, you know, whereas in the past, Johnny was going to probably make a few more plays from inside the pocket. Jackson kind of did a lot of his damage, you know, kind of break and contain, maybe scrambling for some yards or just keeping a play alive because of his strength. And he's got a big time arm. I mean, he can get it down the field. And I just think he just maybe brought a little bit different dimension than what we've been used to in the past. And obviously that's something, you know, we're looking to build on moving here into the, 2024 season. We got spring practice coming up here in a couple weeks, and certainly got a lot of thoughts and ideas of what the plan will be for him. And, it was kind of fun watching him operate back there. And certainly after, he had a couple runs in that Mid-American game that I think really opened a lot of our eyes, just his physicality and, you know, those types of things. So and again, he had a lot of good tools and pieces around him. I thought our offensive line came together well for him. And obviously I thought our receiving group, you know, as far as playmaking ability, he had a lot of options to work around. And then, of course, our running game. You know, aside from him in the running game, I thought our running game, and then Avery Gates out of the backfield, being able to throw to him. I think he had a lot of nice pieces around him, and we lost a handful of those pieces. So I'll be curious to see how we kind of manage without those guys.
To keep all of my various, sponsors and everyone happy, I will have to quote the Sullivan family. Johnny is not just a game manager. I did.
Not at all. Yeah, I've heard that come up a few times. Let his coach put the stamp on that. That was certainly never what we thought of him. He was an outstanding player and far from a game manager. But again, quarterbacks, in my opinion, they all need to be, when it really comes down to it, you gotta take care of the football. And if that's what means being a game manager, I'll take game managers all day if they take care of the football.
Absolutely. At the worst, nothing less than that. So
there you go.
You get into the playoffs and it's a new setup and, you know, you get a team that is coming off of a win, You do get a bye going into that second round. What was that like getting a week to kind of twiddle your thumbs in the playoffs?
Yeah, I would say I for the most part was a proponent of adding the four teams that we did. Just because I think every year there was always a couple teams that, you know, kind of get left out, and it's with all the conferences that we have now, it made it pretty tough to grab one of those at large bids. So I was all for it, but yeah, it was different. I think I liked it, I guess. We won our first round game. So certainly it worked out on our end, but I wouldn't say we treated things a whole lot differently than we would a bye week in season. I guess just trying to look back at it, you know, everybody gets healed up a little bit, but by that time in the year, even a week off, you know, you're still banged up. It's a physical game. It's a taxing game. But those bumps and bruises heal a little bit. So you're maybe a little bit more fresh rolling in there. And sometimes, you know, I guess you could make the argument if you're like a team that's playing with a lot of momentum, you're hot. And then you have to take a week off and wait to play. I suppose you could make that argument, but the reality is, like, you know, I don't think anybody should be complaining about having a bye in the playoffs. So I'm not going to be that guy either. It was a different dynamic because the thing about it is we didn't know who we were going to play.
Right.
You know, I'd have to remember back, Corey, maybe you helped me. Was it Ottawa that played maybe Dort?
Yep.
I think that's who we thought we were going to get the winner of. Dickinson State stuff. Again, we thought it could have been one of those two. I would say that would be, and I don't want to call it a disadvantage. Again, that's kind of a high class problem. You're already a round into the playoffs, but that would have been the only thing there. You just don't know who it's going to be. And that probably adds to it as well. You know, maybe you shouldn't know who it's going to be, but certainly we were streaming, you know, every game, getting a piece of every game, and ended up being Dickinson State. We'd played them whatever 2 years ago, I think it was. So had a little bit of familiarity with them. And obviously they went out and boy, they really got our attention because I know, it seemed like Montana Tech was sure getting a lot of, I don't know if hype's the right word, but they beat a Division II playoff team that made a run in the Division II playoffs. So for Dickinson State to go out there and beat them on their home turf, and I don't want to say beat them soundly, but you know, they it wasn't a fluke. That's for sure. I thought they played a really good football game, and both sides did for that matter. But Dickinson State, you know, they found a way to win that football game, and I knew we were going to get a confident team coming to our place the following week. Plus, they'd already been, you know, they've already had the lay of the land in Des Moines. They've been down here because a lot of the guys on that team were here a couple years ago. They were a younger team at that time, and now they're a little bit older. So obviously that got our attention, and I certainly tried to get the attention of our guys. And obviously, again, I'm not saying it. I had a whole lot to do with it. The players go out there and they win football games. But I thought we played really well that day, and defense certainly stepped up, especially after what I saw Dickinson State do against Montana Tech. So I was real pleased with how that first round went, and it was just nice to get that win and get going in the playoffs.
The next week, though, I dare say you're probably not as pleased. That College of Idaho defense just caused problems every way to Sunday. You stall for field goals in the once in the first quarter, twice in the second quarter, until you finally crack the scoreboard right there down near the end of the third. Just talk about that last game there for a minute.
Yeah, Corey, I don't even want to say it was a frustrating day. It was a frustrating second half. And quite honestly, we were in complete control of that game in the first half. And, you know, I think they would have said the same thing. And, cause we had to settle for three field goals down in the red zone. You know, we're up 9-0 at halftime, and our defense is, I mean, I think they had, maybe 70 yards offense at halftime. And, you know, so we didn't feel like, there was a whole lot of need for adjustments in the second half. Offensively, you know, same thing. We were moving the ball up and down the field. We just didn't punch one in, and that's credit to them. Their guys bowed their necks and kept their defense bowed their necks and kept them in the ball game, because you tack one touchdown on, you know, in addition to those field goals, it's probably a little bit different feel, you know, instead of being 9-0. Again, credit goes to them, but, you know, they just grabbed some momentum early right away in that second half. I want to say they scored in three or four plays right out of the chute in the second half. And, you know, and it was boom, 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 you know, there for a while in their run game. They got their quarterback going, really, really good player. Their O-line was big and physical. And it's like I think they just kind of maybe turned a switch a little bit there in the second half. And but given all that, gosh, this should be ingrained in my memory what the score was, but I'm pretty sure we were down 21-17 with about 9 minutes left in the game. You know, we've, you know, put a drive together finally. We're getting ready to go in and score. At least I, you know, because I want to say it was second down, if my mind serves me correctly, and I think we're on the 4-yard line, and, you know, we just, you know, we thought we had a, you know, kind of a wide open kind of to the flat, kind of to the wheel type play, and quarterback throws flat, doesn't quite, you know, the wheel doesn't quite happen, or whatever. I'm not sitting here pointing fingers at our kids. That's definitely not what I'm trying to do, but just you know, a major change in that game occurred. Yeah, so they intercept the football down at our, you know, 4-yard line. We're going in, and they return at 96 yards for a touchdown. Instead of us going up three, we're down 11, and we get the ball back. We go 3 and out on offense. Probably, you know, probably should have tried to put together a drive maybe. You know, you just start feeling it a little bit, and you feel a little bit more sense of urgency when it's a 2-possession game. So, you know, and that's always hindsight's 20/20 with coaches. It just is. And, but again, just a tough day, frustrating. Like I said, again, taking nothing away from Idaho, but I thought we were, you know, very capable of winning that football game, and score maybe wasn't necessarily indicative of what that game really went like. But it did, you know, and that's the hard pill to swallow, but hopefully that's what, you know, motivates our guys, or has motivated our guys, you know, to get back to that point, because we feel we're a national, you know, kind of caliber program. At least we've proven that, you know, over time here, and that's the goal, to always get back in those situations. And, you know, quite frankly, we need to make those plays. We didn't make them in that game. We didn't make them in the Kaiser game the year before. But I will say this: after, you know, after Idaho had beat us, I watched that Idaho Kaiser game pretty closely, and because physically, I thought Idaho was really, really good up front. You know, they were just a physical football team, and I thought that was going to translate well against Kaiser. And, you know, after I watched that football game, Idaho had every opportunity, looks like, to win that game. I think they were down inside the 5-yard line, 10-yard line, or whatever it was, probably 4 or 5 times. And I don't think they came out of there with any points, including one of the last plays of the game. So I take a little bit of solace knowing, you know, we lost to a really good football team. I don't feel like we're that far off, you know, because obviously Kaiser went on, and again, no disrespect to Northwestern, but they dominated that national championship game, at least running the football. You know, that I will say, I guess I don't remember what the final score was, and I've got great friends at Northwestern, so certainly not throwing any shade, but Kaiser was really darn good, and I saw that up close and personal 2 years ago, but again, I thought Idaho was darn good too, and again, credit to Idaho to come into our place and do that. You know, we played them, I want to say it was in 19, they came to our place on another occasion. We beat them in a real tight ball game back in 19. So again, a lot of those kids, I shouldn't say a lot, there was, I think a few of them, that played in that game were back. I know it was their giant left tackle played in that game as a freshman in 19. And, he looked like Andre the Giant by the time he got here his senior year. So, really good football team, good program. Coach Murawski does a heck of a job. And again, just tipping the cap to those guys. And hopefully we get an opportunity to maybe see them guys down the road. Because if we see them down the road, it means it's probably in the playoffs.
Well, Coach, we've already talked about your offense a little bit. Let's take a look at your defense and what you've got coming back. You know, the one good thing about having a high-scoring offense and a really, really good defense is you get a really great opportunity to work in your subs and your seconds and your third teams there. And even though you're losing some guys that, you know, we've talked about for, it seems like, years now, several years, whether it be Tristan Walk, Haim Mosley, Seth Adrian, even Nate Ewell, you know, you've got guys coming back. It's not like the pantry is empty. You just got to have those guys step up and play at a similar level of defense as those guys and become the new household names for you.
Yeah, no doubt, Corey. We've certainly certainly got to replace, you know, a couple really, really, well, not even a couple, more than a couple, a lot of guys here on defense. Like you'd mentioned, we've had the luxury of having some veteran guys, and you know, and that's what, you know, that quite honestly, that's what, you know, college football is about. Do you have a program? Do you have a, you know, something you believe in? Do you have a culture? Do you have all those things? I don't want to say it's plug and play, but next guy up, you know, that's kind of the mentality we try to have here. And, you know, hopefully we prepared them, you know, for that first play out there when we get going in August. And, you know, that's all we can do. And, but you mentioned a couple names there with Tristan Waugh. Number one, Tristan, I mean, he was the National Player of the Year on defense, won the Cliff Harris Award and led the nation in sacks. I think he was second or third in TFLs. Just a really, really good football player that we're going to definitely miss. Kaim Mosley literally was a five-year starter, you know, on the defensive line. Just an outstanding player, outstanding young man. You're going to miss that leadership. You know, you mentioned Nate Ewell. You know, Nate has moved up a level, a couple levels for that matter. Just because of the day and age that we're in, you know, with the transfer stuff and, you know, it's bound to happen, you know, unfortunately, but it is what it is. We got to deal with it. We got to move on. So yeah, up front, and Seth Adrian, you mentioned, just again, a two-year starter, played a lot for 3 years, in the back end, Patrick Savage, two-year starter, played a lot. In 3 years, Jalen Perkins was a 1 year transfer for us out of corner that was outstanding for us. So yeah, certainly some holes to fill, but at the same time, I'm really excited about some of the younger guys that we have, you know, that maybe haven't quite gotten an opportunity yet. So, you know, that's the fun part of coaching, of getting to see those other guys step in. And it happened last year with guys that stepped in. Davier Jones, at safety, had a great year. Prince Brown at corner. Johnny Argo stepped in at linebacker. And I think you may have mentioned earlier, Aaron Brown, he's a guy that'll be a four-year starter on the defensive line for us coming back. Another kid, Dane Johnson, that quite honestly probably could have started, you know, each of the last two or three years. He was just behind really, really good players. But if he would have started, I don't think we would have missed too much of a beat. So, I'm confident in what we've got coming back on defense, but from there it's just trying to build more depth because of the number of guys that you did lose, because we had, I want to say we had 32 seniors last year, so that's a big number, you know, and that's the, you know, kind of that COVID class, so to speak. So, you know, that's you know, I think a lot of guys are dealing with that. And now we're going to start kind of getting back a little bit to normal. I would say there's still a little bit more COVID here lingering in, if guys took a fifth year or not, but anyways, just, again, I'm as excited about this spring football as I probably have been in a long time, just because of some of the youth that we have that I've been excited about, that I just get to go see them, you know, improve every day. And like I said, that's what, you know, that's what this thing's all about.
Yeah. To me, this upcoming year is really what have you been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, for just nationally, because you've had an extra year with your guys, if they chose to take it. What have you done with those years? Have you, you know, just nationally, you know, have you used it to build out depth? Have you used it to make your program better? And I think the schools that have been able to utilize that, and they might have ginormous graduating classes last year, but if you're able to use it to build the depth of your program and the quality of to raise the floor of your quality, I think you'll see who's been a winner out of COVID.
Yeah, no question, Corey. And again, there was no roadmap for all that stuff. You know, it was also, you know, just, hey, go figure this out. And,
yeah.
You know, and I still think there's, like I said, there's still a little bit of that going on for those freshmen that came in 20, you know, this is their fifth year if they chose to take it. We have a handful of them doing it. There's maybe a couple more that I wish would, you know, but I also understand the piece of guys, 4 years is a lot, you know, especially if you were playing as a freshman, it takes its toll on you. So I totally understand that. I've never put in pressure on a kid in that regard. You know, whether it have been a redshirt kid or whatever, you know, if you graduate and you're ready to move on, then you need to move on, because if this sport doesn't consume you and you can't live without it and you got to kind of think about it, it's probably the best decision to, you know, just kind of take that next step in life. And again, there's nothing wrong with that one bit, but you really got to love it, because it takes a lot of time and a lot of commitment, effort, sacrifice, you name the adjective for it. And there's just a lot that goes into it. And in order to have success, all those things got to be kind of heading in that same direction with your football team. Because if it's not, it's pretty easy to spot. And, you know, I'd like to think, you know, all the guys that we have here right now are, you know, they're raring to go. They're excited. And I've had a really good off season. And we've had some unseasonably warm weather up here, Corey. You're in Florida. Where are you at, Florida?
Yep, just south of Tallahassee.
Yeah, we're not quite getting that, but you know, we've been out a couple different times in February outside. You know, it's been nice enough to get outside and do some things, and so yeah, we've been able to take advantage of that. So you know, but I push spring practice to April 1st, because I know we've got one more snowstorm in us here in Iowa. That's coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I pushed it to April, you know, that way we hopefully we'll get all that stuff out of the way before we get started. And but again, it's a fun time of year, and just to kind of see what that weight room did for the guys this off season, and, you know, and then just, you know, seeing what they've learned from the fall carrying over, and some of the stuff we've done, you know, at least classroom work wise, you know, getting prepared for this spring practice. And like I said, it's just a fun time.
Well, I know I'm excited to see your first couple games this season. Y'all, I won't say you got out of playing Benny last year. You didn't get to play Benny last year. The rivalry is renewed a little bit there with Benedict, and you travel over to Atchison. But you start off the season with newcomer William Woods hosting the Owls in their first ever college football game, probably at least in the modern era. I have no idea if they had one like pre-World War II or anything like that. But talk about that start to the season with William Woods and Benedictine.
Yeah, like you said, Corey, I don't know much about William Woods. Obviously, they're a new member to our conference, and to my knowledge, at least with a lot of the programs, at least the last several years that I've been aware of, they usually, recruit a class, practice with that class for a whole year, and then they play. I believe William Woods they recruited a class and they're going right away, and that's what we did back in 2008. And after we did it, I told anybody that was starting football, don't do what we did. That was brutal. that first year, man, we had 3 weeks to prepare for a football game, we started 19 true freshmen in our first game in 2008. We were actually, we actually won the game. We played Briar Cliff.
Holy cow.
They were a fairly new program, but they had been around a little bit, but we were able to win that first one, and then we didn't win another one until our second to last game of the year, and there was some, there were some thumpings along the way, but also some close ones, too, so, we certainly knew we had maybe something going, but like I said, I don't know that I would recommend doing it that way, but you look where we're at now, and maybe it was a good thing. I don't know. It was just tough to live through it. We'll go into that game, Corey, just like anybody else, because I don't know any other way to do it. We're going to show them respect. We're going to go out and we've been, you ask anybody in our program, and something I talk about daily. When we're in season, it's not about who we're playing. It's about us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to get better today and in that game? And that's the approach we'll take. And quite frankly, that's all we're worried about right now. Well, not right now. We're not worried about it. But, when we get to that point, as that game's getting closer, we get into camp. That's all we're going to be thinking about. I know you mentioned Benedictine on the backside of that. And that certainly won't be in our thoughts. But just, for the sake of you asking, yeah, certainly missed out on that Benedictine game last year. We always enjoy playing that game. It's always been a great game. It's just kind of how the chips fell with, the conference and how it's set up right now. We only have a 10-game schedule, and so you're going to miss a team or two. And now that we've added gosh, Corey, you're probably, I should know this, but you probably know better than me.
St. Ambrose?
We added William Woods and St. Ambrose. Is that all we've added? Because I think we're going to miss two games this year.
MoBap.
And I believe, MoBap was in our, they were in our league last year.
Yeah. They're sort of new still, though.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because this year it's Ambrose and William Woods are the two brand new ones.
Yeah.
But, and I'd have to double check my schedule, but I don't think we play Baker or Mid-Am this year. So, again, just kind of, and it may be like that, every few years where, those traditional, have respect for everybody, but I know those programs have been towards the top of that side of the conference there, especially since Evangel left. That's kind of been the teams that are always right there vying for that South deal. So, I'm worried about, we've got workouts tomorrow, and then one more week of them. And then we get into spring practice, April 1st, cause we got to get better, as we've talked about, as you mentioned, there's some things we've got to figure out on our end. And, and there's no better way to do that than, just to get to work.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAF Ball and become a patron.
We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.